Subway everyday value means many mouth-watering pile-high favorites are $5 footlongs, like the fresh-toasted tempting meatball marinara and made-to-your-order BLT. The $5 footlong anthem rolls on only at Subway, where great everyday value lives. Subway, eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, taping this on a Tuesday, running Wednesday. On the line, one of my favorite TV critics from the San Francisco Chronicle, Tim Goodman. You're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, I should say. What's happening?
Bill, how's it going?
Big curveball this week by Conan O'Brien. Did you see this one coming?
Yeah, that one fell off the table, I think, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, a couple months ago, somebody told me that TBS was going to get involved in this, and I was like, no. And it wasn't even about the George Lopez thing. I just didn't think that was a realistic home for Conan. What do you think changed his mind going from basically NBC to basic cable, a place that nobody ever envisioned him at?
Yeah, I think this was a, you know, even bigger than a curveball. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, there were some, you know, some hints, like you said, early on, but I don't think anybody realistically thought that was an option, so I don't think anybody gave it any merit, because anybody can say that they're in the running to woo somebody else, and, you know, there could be no merit to that. So this kind of came out of nowhere, and I think the deciding factor probably was he was just going to get more, and he's going to get it quicker at TBS, because, you know, he wasn't, I think the main thing was he wasn't going to get 100% clearance at Fox. And there just seemed to be a lot of stumbling blocks within Fox, and I think he and his team were getting signals that, yeah, they wanted to do business, but it was going to be difficult. Not everybody was on board, particularly the affiliates. And then he got the TBS offer, which is basically, we're going to give you a ton of money, you can own the show, and there's going to be low pressure, low expectations, really, and just be yourself. And I think that was, they loved him, and I think that was the winning bid.
They godfathered offered him. Basically.
And no question.
They said, how much would it take for you to come here? And his agent probably threw out some crazy price. And they probably said, let us get back to you in a day. And then they came back and they're like, okay, I think we can beat that price. And the agent's like, what? I really feel like that's probably what happened. You mentioned Fox earlier. I thought that whole thing was a mirage. I never thought that was going to happen. And I had a bunch of people within the industry tell me, like, there was just no way they were going to clear those affiliates. Way too complicated. And the bottom line is, he didn't deliver the ratings in the Tonight Show. So why would they scrap all of these 11 o'clock, you know, Friends or Family Guy or Seinfeld, whatever they had running at 11? Why get rid of that stuff for a guy who basically got 55% of the ratings that Jay Leno's getting right now? I didn't think it was realistic. Did you ever think it was realistic?
Well, yeah, I did. I thought it was certainly a possibility. I didn't think it was, like, not going to happen. I thought if it was going to happen, it would probably happen there, only because I thought the entertainment guys, Kevin Riley and Peter Wright, were going to really be pushing to make it happen in the upper echelons, which is basically more of the business guys, whether it's Rupert or the affiliates. And if they would sell them, because they're pretty persuasive guys, content-wise, if they could sell them, say, look, you know, you may not make as much money right now as you are on these reruns, but, you know, I think they probably would have told them, look, reruns aren't going to last forever as far as their viability, you know, people stop watching them, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't we get this young, fresh guy, we'll build a late-night franchise, a real one for the first time, you know, like ever, and I just thought that it was going to work despite the changes, because I think they wanted to work with him. But then again, at the same time, I did know that the affiliates are bottom line bean counters, and they were like, you know, I don't see it. My worry was that, just what you said, Bill, that they might look at the Tonight Show ratings, et cetera, which was Conan in the slot he shouldn't have been in. He wasn't even acting like Conan. His audience did not go younger and come with him. I think TBS looked at it as far as, hey, we want the Conan who was in late night, who had the college crowd, and was loose and funny.
I thought it was, he was going to end up at FX, would have been my pick, because then, you know, if the show did well, they could have sold the affiliates and then had some contingency in the deal. You know, you kick ass at FX and we'll bring you over to Fox, something like that. And if the ratings had been there, that I think that's how it would have played out. The TBS thing, though, the more I'm reading about it, a really logical home for them, as crazy as that sounds. Like, you read about the, you know, they crushed that 18 to 49 demo.
Yep.
And he's following basically shows that the median audience, I think, is a lot lower than he would have gotten pretty much anywhere else. And then you read about, like, they're going to blow him out with promotion, with the NBA playoffs, with the baseball playoffs. We saw what they could do, what they did for Frank Caliendo, probably to his detriment, the Frank TV ads. I mean, can you imagine what they're capable of with Conan here? This is going to be crazy.
Plus, now they're going to advertise somebody that people want to watch.
Yeah. And when you think about it, they don't really have a face of that network. I guess, as weird as it sounds, of the TBS-TNT combo, the face of the network is probably Barkley, the face of Turner. He's the most recognizable guy they have and probably the biggest star. Now they have Conan, somebody they can promote on two networks, basically. They can promote him during the TNT NBA playoffs and then the TBS baseball playoffs. I think this is going to work as long as, you know, everybody kind of lowers their expectations for what he is. Is this a guy that can bang out, you know, 1.5, 1.6 million viewers on basic cable? I think he could.
Oh, yeah. I think I in fact think he's going to beat that. I think you're going to see him up in the twos and threes. And
consistently or just coming out of the gate?
I think coming out of the gate, he's going to be really strong. And then I think when he settles in and people start finding the channel, it's going to stay high. I really think that he's going to surprise people. But I think you're right that this is the right home for him. It, you know, I always thought, you know, I don't know if I bought the FX thing just because I don't think they have that money for it, you know, because they're offered separately from Fox, whereas Turner is like, they just print money over at Turner, right?
Yes.
And I think that the Turner people, they have some vision and they back up the money, you know, they back up the vision with the money. And, you know, getting Ray Romano and doing, you know, his show, which was, you know, a total, you know, Men of a Certain Age, total stunner. You know, they've got the closer, Saving Grace, et cetera, like that. They have a brand, and now they went to Conan, and they said, look, you're now going to be our Kira Sedgwick in a way. You know, she launched TNT, and then we got Ray in, et cetera, and Holly Hunter. You're going to be our guy at TBS. And I think that really probably appealed to him because in some ways, it's like Letterman on a lower scale, right? It's Letterman. When Letterman went to CBS and finally gave them a late-night presence, this is what Conan's doing over at CBS.
I agree. The Turner guys are really smart. You know, when you think of what those channels, I don't know, 10 years ago, nobody knew what those channels were. Like, it was basically TBS, TNT, the NBA playoffs would flip back and forth between the two channels. And you know, they'd run movies and they didn't really have an identity, and then they clearly tried to mark the identity as TNT's drama, TBS's comedy. And you're like, all right, well, let's see how that... But it actually worked. TBS is comedy and TNT's drama. And, you know, I think this is great for him. I mean...
You know, he's going to plant his flag there because, like you said, they delineated the channels. Now he's going to be the face of the comedy brand,
yeah.
And I think he's going to bring other people over and to help them out a lot. And, you know, another thing, too, Bill, is I teach college students and have for like three or four years now. And, you know, you and I may think about networks as, oh, you know, why would you choose CBS over Fox? You know what? The audience that he's going to try to be bringing to Turner, they don't even care about networks. They don't have any kind of channel identity. They don't have number identity. They're going to find it, and they'll find it, and they'll stick with it. And they'll just, you know, they're going to either watch it online or whatever, but they're going to find it, and they're going to remember what channel it is no matter what system it's on. So they're not so hung up. I think the younger audience is not so hung up on, like, TBS being kind of a smaller, quote-unquote, smaller entity.
It's an awesome point. And I think this Conan thing proves once and for all that late night is now becoming all about niches. And you know, the old days of the three networks and that's it. It's over. It's with TiVo and with how familiar people are with channels. You don't need a lead-in. I think the whole lead-in thing is totally overrated at this point. I mean, it makes a little sense for the big networks only because of the local news or whatever. And I guess it makes sense, like if you have a Super Bowl and you're you know, blowing out promos for somebody. But if a show's good, people are going to find it. I think Mad Men and Breaking Bad have proved that more than anything. Nobody knew 3 years ago what channel AMC was in their cable system. If a show's good, they're going to find it. But here's my question. You know, he's basically, it's a very similar audience for him, kind of his comedy wheelhouse, to Stewart and Colbert. What happens there?
Yeah, I think that is the part that I find a little bit surprising. I mean, they didn't really have much of an option. You got to put them on an 11, because I think that the best example of why this works is Jon Stewart. You know, Jon Stewart has not lacked for anybody wooing him to come over the other way and go to the network side.
Yep.
He'll always have that. And he's just never wanted it. You know, he's like, look, I get paid a lot of money. I broadcast in the place I want to. I like this network. It's close to my home. You know, he just does what he wants to do. No one messes around with him. He can swear and they can bleep it out. No one hassles him. No one gives him notes. So he doesn't want to move. He created his own identity, and I think that's kind of one of the things that Conan is probably looking at. And yet now, like you said, they're going up against each other. So I think, you know, from me, thinking about it as a TV critic and from the programming end, that's a little bit of a hiccup. But then you get beyond that and you start thinking about the demo. We talk about the, you know, younger demo. And they are DVR, you know, veterans. They're gonna record one, tape the other. I mean, they have, you know, Nielsen obviously accounts for time shifted viewing. So I think it can work out. You know, I've already heard people say, look, I'll watch the first 15 minutes of Stewart, and then I'll switch over, or I'll always tape Conan and watch that, et cetera, et cetera. It'll work out, but it's not ideal. But I don't think it's gonna be it's not gonna break him.
DVR solves a lot of issues on that end. I do think, though, it's really interesting what's happened to late night. There's a lot of bodies right now. You know, it's like, I do wonder at some point how much late night TV we need. You know, now we're talking about, you have the two Comedy Central shows, you have TBS, you have Letterman Leno, you have Kimmel, you have Conan, Fallon, and Ferguson.
Right.
What's that, eight? Did I just count eight shows?
Right. They're going to start their own league pretty soon. It's crazy.
And you know what? The biggest way the late's changed other than the whole part of the DVR and all that stuff is, you know, with the internet, if something really good happens, you're going to find out about it and you're going to be able to see the clip. I don't think there's the same urgency that there was. You know, think about what we had in the 80s and 90s with Letterman. Like, if you missed a show, that was it. You missed it. And now, like, something like Chris Rock was on Letterman last week, and he was great, and he was busting Letterman's balls about, you know, the problems with his marriage in a very good-natured way. Like, it was really funny, and Letterman took it perfectly, and it was good. I wouldn't have watched that normally, but somebody mailed me the clip, and I got to see it. Do you think that's where late night's going, where you can kind of almost skip all the stuff and just catch up online?
Yeah, and I think that that's actually a great question, because I think you're right in that we are it is a niche audience now. There's so many people into it. You know, you go way back and you talk about, you know, your father's Tonight Show, and you know, we've talked about, or I certainly have written before, that I've always thought that Conan was totally misguided in wanting to get the Tonight Show in the first place, because he was a terrible fit, but he grew up idolizing that and wanting it, and he's in the business. That's always the chair you want, but it's not the space for him. He kind of realized that the hard way, and I think he's going to be better off for it. But yeah, we have this fractured audience where you have all these hosts, but you also now have YouTube, and I think a lot of the social media stuff is going to drive people, and you email clips to each other, and I think the social media stuff is going to drive people to shows that get hot, and they get into the social conversation in the nation. You know, we don't have the water cooler thing anymore, but you get an email or you say, man, did you see Kimmel last night, or did you see what Conan did his first night on TBS? And you're going to start watching it that way. I think that's the future. And also, we talk about his audience, you know, this whole Twitter generation and driving people that way. I think Conan's out in front on the social media angle.
And a big assist to NBC for stupidly keeping him on the air for those last 2 weeks and allowing that whole groundswell to start. If they just knock him off immediately, well, let me ask you. Let's say they never let those last 2.5 weeks happen. It's clear that he's going to leave. They just pull the show. How does that affect his marketability and all the kind of, I don't know, I guess you could say resurgence, especially online, that happened for him those last couple weeks?
Oh, yeah. And to me, that's like one of the underreported part of it. They made him money. I mean, they literally printed him money.
Yeah.
Because when he was considered, you know, he had the sympathy factor, obviously. People were like, Jay's doing this to whatever. But he was still considered like, okay, you failed at the Tonight Show. You didn't bring an audience over. You really weren't yourself.
Yeah.
And then you got booted off. And then that's how the story would have ended. But because the NBC is, you know, run by like a gaggle of monkeys, they just like didn't know what to do. They left him on, and he became himself again. And it was just like he had so much going for it. People, the anti-Leno sentiment for one hand, the anti-NBC sentiment, and stripping 10 o'clock and treating people like morons. And then you just had Conan all of a sudden become Conan again and say, what the hell? I'll just say what I want to say. And you know, it was like NBC created their first star since Seinfeld at that point.
Yeah. Hey, he was like unleashed, and you never want to put a guy who has nothing to lose and isn't going to stay on your network for an hour, especially if he could come back to haunt you somewhere else. I really think that if they had just cut him out right as that whole thing was breaking, I don't know if he has this TBS deal.
I really don't.
I think he's probably at Comedy Central at midnight for half the money, and I certainly don't think he would own the show. Like, you look at this, the fact that they gave him ownership of the show. Actually, explain that in the layman's terms. What does that mean when they say, oh yeah, you own the show? What does that mean?
Well, he's going to make more money. It's like being an executive producer. And because Letterman owns his own show. And also what that means, look, you saw that in a strike year, you know, Letterman could, you know, negotiate his own thing because he was employing himself. And you know, I hate to say it cynically, but you look at, you know, when Letterman had the sexual harassment thing, he was, you know, it was his company. His company set the guidelines, et cetera. When you own your own company and you own your own show, you have not only creative control of what you're doing, you create your own environment, but you have a little bit of autonomy in that, you know, they fired him from The Tonight Show, right? And he just, and like we're talking about now, had NBC not left him on, he probably would have been a footnote. You can't fire somebody from their own show because he could just say, okay, I own this, and I take this someplace else. So what he lost in intellectual property at NBC, whether it's the masturbating bear or Triumph or whatever, he will never lose if he owns his own show.
Explain to me why a one-hour show has never worked starting at 11 o'clock, except for Arsenio for 2 years.
Well, I think that's going to change. I really do, because, you know, I think we're honestly, in the last 2 or 3 years, we're in the midst of social changes in the industry that people are only now being able to sort of fathom, whether it's time shifting or how we count those time shifting things or, you know, just the whole perception. From 2000, I think, one or two, when more people started watching cable than broadcast, you know, you're looking at 8 or 9 years on, the shift has already been taking off. It's like a wave that started then. And now, none of the old, you know, the paradigm that we're talking about doesn't even exist anymore. Kids today, they don't think about like, oh, I got to wait until what time to watch a late night program, or well, I have to watch the news first. Well, first of all, they're not watching the news, certainly not local news. So I think all this stuff changes, and we will see a 11 o'clock show work. And I do think we're going to see more, like you and I talked about, more appointment television. Like I watch Comedy Central on and off because I want to see South Park or whatever. But I always watch, you know, Jon Stewart, and I set my DVR for that, and then Colbert. So I think people are going to do that for Conan, and then we're going to bust out of this 11 o'clock myth.
I think one of the things people don't realize about late night, like Jon Stewart's show, I think is considered an unequivocal smash hit. Wouldn't you say? doesn't get as many viewers as you think. I think it's like 1.4? What is it?
Yeah,
something?
He's right in that range, and I think when there's an election, it'll spike up.
And you look at Conan, who I think when he was at 12:30 was probably like something like three million. I don't even know. But when he went to the Tonight Show, that dipped to about 2.8 million, and now Leno's getting about, I think, 4.5, 4.8, something like that. But you think like Conan, are there a million people that love Conan? Yes. Actually, we can pretty much guarantee that there are. So for him to get like a 1.4, not only seems realistic, but would, if you're equating him to what Stewart's doing on Daily Show and what Colbert's doing, that makes him a smash hit on basic cable. So basically, he's going to be a smash hit.
No doubt. And the crazy thing is, people forget that, you know, people can joke about George Lopez on TBS and, oh, you know, does he have a show? Where is TBS? You know, George Lopez does good numbers over at TBS.
Yes.
You know, he's getting more than a million himself. So if George Lopez can get more than a million, what's Conan going to get? So he is going to be a smash hit over there. And right out of the box, the numbers will be inflated, and then they'll find their natural level. But I think, you know, he built a whole brand in the last 3 weeks of The Tonight Show. And then he does this whole Team Coco thing online, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going on this tour. Everything's kicking off perfectly for him. I mean, his handler set this thing up just right.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely completely screwed up The Tonight Show. There's no question. And they somehow were able to salvage it and turned it into a positive, and I think have put him in a better position than maybe he's ever been, other than in the mid-90s when his show was taken off. You know, he has real value now, I think.
Yeah, he does. And you know, part of it is going to be, you know, it's the what have you done for us lately thing. If he's not funny, people won't tune in. But I think he's going to be more relaxed, and we know how funny he can be when he's more relaxed. He's funny right now. You know, he's joking about not having a gig and then being on Twitter and then ending up on basic cable. And
yeah.
He said something like, yeah, my plan's working perfectly. And, you know, he's going to go on this road show. They're going to sell out those dates. He's going to have all this buzz with him. It's going to be kind of perfect. But just him being himself, I think, will bring an audience in, because he'll be funny. And people will realize, oh, right, this isn't the guy who the last 4 or 5 years of his late show was angling to be, or certainly the last 2 years of the show, was trying to be more like Leno, and I didn't like him as much, and I started tuning out. And then he becomes a late night host, or a Tonight Show host, and then he's kind of stiff. He's kind of like, eh. He's you know, my mom or something. Now he's going to be back to the guy who was swearing and making fun of NBC, and just him being relaxed and funny is the best thing he can do, and I think that's what TBS is going to give him, that sense of comfort.
Does it help him at all that TBS is owned by Turner, which has its hand in a lot of pots right now, media-wise? Like, they could really promote him a lot of different ways.
Yeah, well, they put up, you probably heard or saw that they put up the first Conan ad last night.
On what channel?
I think they put it on TNT.
Really?
They just stuck it up. It's that I'm with Coco, that sort of iconic thing of him in red. And they just said he's now on TBS. Conan's with us.
Because I'm trying to think what. Obviously, they own Time Magazine, and don't they own Sports Illustrated? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they own like a whole bunch of different things that could kind of give him a little push.
Oh yeah, and you can promote him on so many different platforms.
Yeah.
On TBS, and even just the sports stuff. If you start going, you know, you start dropping him at these different events. He's going to be he's in L.A. now, so you drop him at these events and playoffs. You take pictures of him. You just keep him in the public eye. And also, you know, it's funny, the guy who runs Conan, who runs TBS and Turner, basically said they're going to spend so much money on the promotion, it's going to be a joke.
Oh, we saw it with Cal Ando. I mean, think about how much money they spent on him. It seems like late night is going in one of two directions. Either you have to go super duper broad, like Leno does, or you have to be super duper pointed, like Stewart and Colbert, and I think what Conan's going to do at TBS. Is there a middle ground between those two things anymore?
Yeah, I think if you look in at that, the strategy is really interesting in that you've got two older guys, Leno, who's going to he just pulls in a crowd that's oblivious to comedy and social media and whatever. They're just going to watch him no matter what. And then you got Leno or Letterman, who people like, but is getting older and more cantankerous. I think Kimmel's going to win I think he's going to benefit mostly on the network side. And, you know, his stuff is pointed and funny, but he's likable. And I think that there's a spot for Conan to not be the anti-Leno and to go back to kind of the college goofy stuff that he's done, you know, with Andy Richter in the past. That's the kind of comedy that, like, resonates with a certain audience. I think he's going to be the goofy guy. You go back to when he hosted the Emmys, he did funny stuff, you know. His visual stuff is funny. It's like those were all good things because he was being goofy. Stars like him. they'll play along with his jokes. So if he's that way, he's gonna do just great on TBS.
How do you think TBS kept this a secret?
That's a great question.
Nothing's a secret anymore. Nikki Fink, like, she sniffs the stuff down. Even she didn't get it.
And this was a total stunner. I mean, I literally, when it came across, I was like, what? Whoa. You know? I think that a couple of guys in the industry had a little bit of advance warning. I need to talk to The Rap, Joe Adalian at The Rap, and probably Michael Schneider over at Variety, and then they busted it out on Twitter. And when that you saw that, you're like, wow, that's just a stunner. I mean, that takes everybody by surprise. But then you start thinking, like you said earlier, kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like sometimes there'll be a really good sports trade, and you look at it and you'd be like, oh, yeah, I get it. I like that for both sides. That makes total sense to me. And this is how, that was my reaction to this TBS thing. I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I this is a win for both sides, and I think TBS pushes them to another level. How would you rank the basic cable channels right now for influence?
Influence-wise?
Yeah.
Basic cable? Wow, I'd say TNT is probably at the top because TNT and USA are sort of the middle brands as far as like the, you know, they don't have like the edgy stuff that FX has. I think if you're thinking like scripted dramas, FX and AMC are your leaders by far, and certainly in the critical community, and they're turning out stuff that's just stunning. But as far as like overall reach and power and influence, you got to go to TNT and USA, but specifically TNT. I mean, they were getting 9 million something viewers for The Closer, and that's killing half of the NBC shows.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and people know where it is, and they'll find it. As we said repeatedly, they've got a lot of money. So, influence-wise, he's right at the, you know, you're looking at like he wouldn't go to Discovery, but Discovery is a umbrella organization that has a lot of popular channels and a lot of money. But the big, you know, but TNT and Turner, they have a ton of money and they have influence because you got Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, you know, you can grow these people into long term, and I think that's one of the things that the TBS guy even mentioned. He just said, look, you got two old guys over on, not Kimmel, but you got two old guys over on network, and we're a young audience. We got the youngest, most famous, proven comedy brand for late night hosting right here, and you know, we're going to milk it.
MTV's dead or dying?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, MTV doesn't want you and I to even be there, but you know, we're somebody's grandparents for them.
Yeah.
They just do, you know, that's a whole nother thing. You know, they don't play videos and they just do kind of cheesy reality stuff. But yeah, we're out of the demo, and most of the stuff that they do is, I think, uninteresting to people who think about television.
Oh, speak for yourself, pal. Come on. I might not be in that demo, but that doesn't mean MTV is not on my speed dial. It does seem like VH1 is past them, though, in terms of relevant reality shows at the very least.
Well, yeah, I mean, whoever's doing it, all just the business over at VH1 is, you know, channeling stuff from Fox, you know, because he's got that gene that knows kind of sleaze.
Yeah.
What will appeal. He's kind of got that genius for the carnival barker. That's what Fox has, and I think they got that at VH1, too.
I got sucked into Basketball Wives on Sunday. It was excellent. I loved it. Oh, wait, you never mentioned Bravo. Where do you think they rank?
Yeah, Bravo is another player. You know, that's on the Universal brand. So that's another player. But as far as like reach, you know, I think what you're saying, it comes from two different perspectives. I think HBO and Showtime are clearly the brand as far as pay, and Comedy Central, I think, is really building themselves back up after kind of being a little bit stagnant and just relying on Stewart for a while. But now they're really coming back. But if you're looking at scripted stuff, again, FX, AMC, that stuff is as good as it gets. But, man, if you want to talk about somebody who's right in the nation's wheelhouse for available audience, 100% penetration, and big-time dollars, you're looking at, I think, TNT and a little bit like USA, they're in that realm.
I call it the hotel test. If you're not in my 20-channel hotel package in some Holiday Inn somewhere in Kansas City, then you're not in the discussion totally. And TBS is a channel that is, no matter what hotel you're staying at in what whatever city, it's probably going to be in the hotel cable system, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
AMC, not quite there yet. I might not get AMC in my hotel room in Secaucus or wherever, you know, Worcester. Who knows? But Treme.
Love it.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah. Are you on board yet? Have you started watching?
You know, the first shows when you have like 45 characters are always tough for me. Right. I need about three watchings to try to figure out everything. But I definitely a cool show, different, excited to see where it's going, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think I've seen three, and the visuals are great. It's great to see the Wire guys back, obviously. And David, it's typical David Simon, right? He drops you in. I think Sunday night's first premiere was 80 minutes, so he kind of drops you in the middle of this chaos with little explanation, and you just kind of got to figure it out.
Yeah,
sort of grows exponentially from there, and the density has always been his greatest asset, because even though you kind of labor through it. But then he's built up so many great characters that it resonates for longer, not just one season, but five seasons. And I think, it's not going to be The Wire. And I did the review of it, and I just said, look, you know, the guy gives us the greatest television series in history, drama. And let's not give him as a reward, you know, the albatross is saying, okay, do it again. You know, he already did that. Just cut him some slack. This is a different show.
Yeah, it's fair. Hey, the Wire was an A+. If this is an A- or a B+, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you a Pacific guy?
Love the Pacific. Yeah. Big time on the Pacific. It's one of those shows. In fact, you know, I think either the Pacific or the Treme might, you know, or Treme might step up this week in my power rankings and perhaps be for the first time topple Breaking Bad, which is, of course, a show I've been trying to get you to watch. That show's off the charts great.
I have, and I have the date when I'm going to start watching them. It's going to be right after the baseball All-Star game. There's always that 20-day stretch of July when I have nothing to watch, and I'm going to bang out all of them. I have all the DVDs. I'm ready to go. I got to plug your power rankings for a second. I think they're really cool. And it's something that the way we cover sports and all the different gimmicks that people have and everything, for some reason they've not translated to TV and film. Especially, like, I look at the way movie reviews are written, and they're just very, very, you know, it's one way. It's like missionary position. It's just, you got to write it the one way, and you got to use a lot of language and, you know, write like you're, you know, dissecting something in a film class. And I don't know. It's kind of boring. But that's why I like the power rankings. It's something I haven't seen before on TV. So who was number one last week?
Breaking Bad's been number one since it came out, and it's been a great run right now, because you're looking at Breaking Bad, The Pacific, Justified on FX, you got Lost in the mix, and you got some of the Showtime shows coming out, like Nurse Jackie, etc., but now you drop Treme in there, oh man, and it's just it's a whole new thing.
Do you have a formula for the power rankings, or is it just like your personal favorite?
Yeah, it's funny. I get that a lot, because, you know, people say, you know, because, you know, I'm a fantasy baseball guy and whatever. And so people will come over because, I call it power rankings for a reason. You know, people understand that. And they're always looking for some, you know, what kind of formula are you using on the stats? And, I always joke that I break it down. I'm the TV critic. It's my call. But
I like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's no formula, but I do judge it on – you know, I have 15 shows, and I do judge it on when everybody's rolling, everybody's in production. I rank the top 15. I weight it more towards scripted fiction. If there was a time when not a lot of shows were on at the time, and Jon Stewart was on, and that's a scripted show, but that's nonfiction. So my preference is scripted fiction, and I break them into 15. And I just like, you got to have a good episode. If you have a bad episode, you can drop. I think that last week's Breaking Bad, even though right now it's the best show on TV, I think that was kind of a middling episode, and it opens the door for, you know, the 80-minute introduction of Treme, or like another really good hour of The Pacific. And so each week I kind of judge each particular episode. And if they have a rerun, they can kind of drop off or drop down. That's where the flux comes in. It's fun to do.
So you're weighing degree of difficulty a little bit, because it's much harder to pull off a show like Treme than it is to pull off The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And you've got to be, for me, the comedy stuff is, you know, we've had a lot of strong comedies, but it's so easy for those guys to go off the rail. You know, you got a 30 Rock and a Modern Family, you know, Life and Times of Tim on HBO, the animated series I really love, Inbetweeners on BBC, which is hilariously great. Those shows were always kind of consistent, but shows like Big Bang Theory and, you know, How I Met Your Mother, you know, they can have some really bad stretches and they'll fall off.
If you had to give out the goodies, I don't know, I just came up with that. Like, say, like an ESPYs type award for your awards for the TV season. That's right. A good idea. You could take that. I'm going to give that to you.
It is.
In June, who wins Big Network Executive of the Year?
Wow. That's a good one. Who wins Big Network Network Executive of the Year?
Network, not Basic Cable Network. Unless you want to expand it to Basic Cable, it's up to you.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great call. I think certainly I would have the guys at FX if you're going to do that. FX and AMC, they would be good.
FX, really?
Honestly, I think those guys have done great work. But I would say if this season, if you had to do a network guy, which was what you said, and certainly harder to do, I think you got to go Steve McPherson over at ABC because the guy rolled out 3 sitcom hits, which is nearly impossible, and the lineup is really strong. He's letting Lost go out on its, you know, as it wants to, giving him a lot of time. I think he's doing good stuff over there.
I would say McPherson as well. Well, first of all, we can cancel NBC. They've eliminated themselves from the running, so now it's down.
That's Golden State Warriors, if you ask me.
Yeah, or even worse. I mean, you might even have to go Nets for them. So then, you know, Fox hasn't really been a banner Fox year, I don't think, except for Glee has some buzz. It's really about it, right?
Yeah, I love Glee, and you know, they managed last year to have like Lie to Me and Fringe, a couple of you know middling to good series that every week you can have entertainment. But boy, they get dinged down, Bill, because. And I love those guys, honestly. Some of those guys came over from FX. I think they're some of the smartest guys in the room. But for whatever reason, they haven't swung the bat and cleaned out their comedy development department. Because I would do that in an instant. If I was hired right now as the head of Fox, I would come in and say, everybody here is fired. Get your stuff and get out.
You've been joking about that in your column and on Twitter about Till Death. Till Death is actually going to go on until death. Yeah, I think they finally got rid of it.
Yeah, how do you even pay somebody to do that? That's the first person I fire and say, you actually thought this was funny from the script, and then we paid money to make a pilot out of it, and then we put it on for X amount of years. But, you know, they haven't developed, outside of Glee, which is not a sitcom, they haven't developed a non-animated comedy hit since Arrested Development, you know? And their stuff's crap. It's crap. They tried to be CBS Lite for a while. And now I don't know what they're doing. And they sung the Tucson. They kept trying to tell us that was going to be a hit. Boy.
CBS's big idea. See, CBS, I feel like they're eliminating themselves because they just spin off shows that are already working. That's their mojo. I don't think you get credit for that for Executive of the Year. Like to say, oh, let's take NCIS and we'll spin it off in L.A. and let's find a white guy and a black guy. Ooh, LL Cool J is available. Hey, Chris O'Donnell. I think there's no degree of difficulty to that. So I think McPherson wins. Basic Cable, who's the executive of the year?
Basic Cable, I think you got to go FX because, you know, they're just doing so much great work over there. And because, you know, they put out Justified. You know, I think that worked. They came up. I don't know what you thought about their comedy stuff when they, you know, they came out with the comedy hits, and then they got Louis, what's his name, coming off on a show.
Louis C.K., yeah.
Louis C.K., who's hilarious, has come up with a show. I just think that they do real good work over there. And, you know, John Landgraf, who runs that network, and I've said this before, he's every time I see him, I think he's the smartest guy in the room. So they've been doing pretty good. And AMC, I don't know. They're kind of cruising. We'll have to see what they come up with next.
Well, they pay money for 2 shows, and that's about it.
Right, but they've developed now. They're developing like 5 or 6 more. So that's really the litmus test for them. It's going to be okay. You just hit two homers out of the park. You know, you hit 450 blasts on both of those shows. You know, Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Now what can you do? If they can do it again, you know, maybe they're the smartest guys in the room.
Well, listen, they better be careful, because if any of these shows interrupt the weekly showing of A Few Good Men, I'm going to be very upset. Can't mess that up. I need to know that A Few Good Men is going to be on once a week. Just, it makes me comfortable.
Wow.
It makes me happy.
That is cynical. That is cynical. Hey, but don't forget also, too, though, I know we leave them out because we just take them for granted, but you got to give HBO some respect. They're on the comeback trail. I get the email all the time. People say, I'm dropping HBO. I'm like, why are you dropping them now? You should have dropped them 2 years ago when they had nothing in the pipe. They're starting to roll.
Yeah, so Pacific, Treme. I liked How to Make It in America. A lot of people didn't. I mean, the last two shows really fell off, and there's rumors that it might not get renewed, but I think it deserves at least one more year.
I think they'll get renewed. I think they'll get that. And, you know, they took a chance with – I liked How to Make It in America, too. I think they're trying something. I don't think six episodes is really enough for them to do it. But I really love this sleeper one, the animated hit, Life and Times of Tim. It's brilliant. And then you've got Boardwalk Empire coming up.
Yep.
Or Stacey. You got Game of Thrones coming up. That's going to have all the sci-fi people, you know, just like, you know, peeing their pants. You know, and they're still putting out Curb. I think they're in play here. They're doing really good work.
And you forgot to mention Al Pacino as Dr. Jack Kevorkian. I am so excited for that.
Yeah, I can't. We have to have a drinking game every time. But you know he's going to be yelling half the way through that.
Oh, it's going to be great. This patient wants to die. He's just screaming. I can't wait. All right, Tim Goodman. Big month coming up, May. Looking forward to reading your column. Couple season finales. Are you like a full-fledged Lost guy or a two-thirds Lost guy? Or, like, are you sad it's ending? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I'm all in on it. You know, this is it's been hard this year because, you know, I kind of agree with Alan Sepinwall. It's like it's hard to judge it episode to episode because in this final one because they're all pointing to something bigger at the end. And so if you jump in too soon and say, you know, it's not going anywhere, and then it wraps up brilliantly, you're going to look like a fool. So my thing is, like, let's just wait until the end. And besides, what do they have to lose, right? If you're on board, you've been with them for five or six seasons, you're just going to let it happen. And so I certainly aren't jumping off now. And it does – they've had some episodes that have been kind of a downer. But, you know, most weeks I'm excited to see what they're doing. I'm intrigued by what they're doing. So I'm on board all the way to the end for Lost.
I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
I really am. And yeah, the season's been up and down, and we don't know where it's going. But never at any point did I ever say, I'm just not going to watch it. I don't understand the people who do that. How do you stick with a show for 5 years and then bail in the climactic year? I get it with 24. Like, I bailed on 24 this year because it was terrible, and they'd taken that 24 concept as far as it could go. They never really changed the show. It just felt like they're ripping off other seasons, and it was time for the show to end. Lost isn't. I don't feel that way with Lost at all.
No, I don't either. I feel there's a lot of vitality there. And you know what? When it leaves, you know, love it now, because when it leaves, I don't think they're going to make – the networks are not going to make another serialized, complicated drama like that. I just don't think they're going to do it.
I agree. I think it probably is going to be the last great network drama, because it's too freaking expensive to make a show like that. And
yeah,
especially that many episodes. And they did cut it down as it went along, but – you know, on cable, they're making, like, How to Make It America was 8 episodes.
Right.
You know, 8 half-hour episodes. Entourage goes 8, 9, 10 episodes. The Wire was 13 episodes. You know, to have a show succeed on basic cable for, on network for, you know, 20, 22 episodes, it's a much higher degree of difficulty. Have I ever mentioned to you my theory that I think the Emmys needs to change their whole drama thing? Like, I think networks should have their own category, and basic cable should. It's much harder to do a really good drama on network than it is cable.
Yeah, they're definitely at a creative disadvantage, because you can't be as adult, and if you're playing for a Big Ten audience, you kind of have to be more formulaic in your. So you got to be CBS, right? You got to do CIS to have a big audience. So I think you're right that there's a little bit of advantage to both, you know, to AMC and FX. Those guys put on 10 p.m. shows that are a lot more edgy, a lot more guns going off, a little bit more sexy. So they have an advantage.
All right, Tim Goodman, read you the San Francisco Chronicle, The Bastard Machine. You have a podcast. Next month, I'm bringing you back with Sepinwall. We're going to do a 3-man pod. What do you think?
Let's do it. 3-man.
That'd be good. All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Bill. Thanks.
I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
With all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just-breaking news. Subway now has breakfast. And unlike the competition, you can get it made just the way you want. Like the Subway Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Add jalapenos, banana peppers, tomatoes, or try Monterey Cheddar. Build your better breakfast at Subway. And after you build your better breakfast, grab your favorite $5 footlong to go. Made to your order all day, every day. Only at Subway.